You suck, Chris.
Are you ready for some meatballs?
You suck, Chris.
All right, well, the Bears are back to 500 and still mathematically not out of the playoff hunt yet. So should we be happy? Does this mean anything? I have no idea. So that's why I'm talking once again to Mark Jansen. How are you doing, Mark?
I'm great. I am every bit as confused as you are about the 2020 Bears. Because I think their main goal is to just confuse.
Working.
First of all, was that a Bears-Vikings game, or was that Falcons-Bucks? Or like, what was – that was a track meet. What?
Yeah. Let's right away.
What a breath of fresh air to see the Bears scoring.
Yeah, and, like, early, getting a lead. And I got to say, I'm already dismayed to see some reaction online of, oh, the defense had to bail Mitch out again. Like, what?
That is ignoring – 56 minutes of the game. I don't know how else to put it.
Game.
That was an absolute train wreck of a decision or throw. I don't know. My cousin sent me a text, said that Mitch said that it was intended for Robinson, so that would make it a worse throw and not as bad a decision. It looked like a jump ball to J.P. Holtz.
Yeah.
It just kills me, but if it's an overthrow, it's a bad throw. If it's a bit throwing it to Holtz, it's just stupid decision-wise, and it looked like he locked in all the way and didn't even begin to read the field on that play. What I really hated, well, I guess we're doing the bad here, empty backfield when you could have had a really nice play fake scenario out of that based on the situation. They would have keyed on a run if Montgomery was back there. That was the part that bothered me the most.
And why were there two – receivers in the same place too? That bothers.
Yeah, they keep doing that. But you see what I'm saying? Like a simple running back play fake boot with Mitch. You can either run, you can throw, like do the stuff that's been working all game.
Yeah.
You go empty when you can set up a fake perfectly based on the situation. It just didn't make sense. It was the worst play call of the game, and they got away with it. But Mitch did not get bailed out by the defense. The defense played like trash again.
Capital T.
And Mitch bailed out the defense for the bulk of the game. If you look at the whole game, you don't distill it to two plays or something stupid.
Mm-hmm.
Mitch was way better than the D today.
Yeah, the Vikings did not punt after the first quarter.
Neither did the Bears.
Oh, the Bears didn't. I didn't even realize that. But yeah,
I don't think they did.
Yeah.
Either way, there was not a whole lot of punting going on.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the Bears are looking like a solid contender next year in the NFC South. I kid around about the Bears-Vikings thing, but it's refreshing to see the Bears look like a modern NFL team these last few weeks. Are we gonna dismiss this because the Vikings D too, or can we continue to give them credit? I really hate the "what a bad defense" narrative that we get all the time.
All right, you know, that's fine. Yeah, you can say they're not a great defense, but this is 3 weeks in a row now.
Yeah, exactly.
They scored 30. They've hit 30 3 weeks in a row.
30 or more. First time since 95, three games straight.
And they're averaging over 30 since Mitch came back. I mean,
and yeah, two costly turnovers late in games by Mitch, which is definitely the bad, but he's playing really good otherwise, and those are definitely bad. One of them did cost you the game, of course, but the defense played like trash that whole game too.
Yes, they did.
So they could easily be 3-0 in that stretch and in the lead for that playoff spot. There's a lot to have fun with here. It was a fun game. I don't want to gloss over the bad. Like, and I guess anytime we lose, I want to start with the good and vice versa.
Yeah.
You know, you'll flip the script a little. Chuck Pagano is terrible. I don't know what he does. That's an asset.
He has Khalil Mack drop back into coverage. That's what he
on
does.
The goal line. The pressures are down, the sacks are down, and the turnovers are non-existent despite a Hail Mary that they botched. Eddie tipped it up. They got lucky, by the way.
Oh.
That was terrible. Eddie has taken a gigantic step backwards.
Yeah.
He's
not all pro anymore.
At this point, the only thing he could do to take worse step is to step into a bear trap and lose a leg. I mean, the defense is not doing anything remotely like what we saw in 2018, forget last year. It's basically just a repeat. Mm-hmm. Everyone's like, elite defense. Not under Pagano, it's not. He's the first guy that's got to go at this point.
I agree. That's
just because he's just not an asset.
And it shows you that last week really probably was more about just how bad the Texans were than finally getting.
You don't hold them to 7 points if they have the receivers at all. I mean, you had a good pass rush that game. Actually, it was okay against Minnesota. It took its sweet time. It took a couple quarters off, really. Yeah. But I just – my point isn't even that. It's production and scheme and like, never seem to fool anybody. Not Rodgers, not Stafford, not Cousins. The teams that have played the Bears a bunch under Pagano know exactly what the Bears are trying to do. And I don't want to hear Johnson was hurt and Screen was hurt. They aren't going to be the ones setting the edge on the outside runs, are they?
Nope. Now, I will agree that
they do matter. Johnson especially matters, but Johnson, that's not why the defense had a bad game.
Yeah, Johnson is a big screen. No, that's not, you know, we only see Screen when he's trailing receivers across the middle of the field.
Yep. And besides, I thought Shelley did a pretty decent job.
Yeah.
He might be better. But you're talking 3 out of 4 weeks with terrible defense.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to forgive him. He's never going to apologize, so I don't have to. For debacle at the end of the game with the Saints, at the end of the first half, sorry, in the game with the Saints, where the Bears are up 10, and then they're up 3, and then they lose the game later. They just backed off and let Drew Brees march right down the field like he does. And that cost him that game. It's a whole different season if you don't go on that tailspin losing streak. And I think he's just as responsible for it as anybody in this organization. He's been that bad. Compared to Fangio, especially.
Something about Pagano's prevent defense or his shell defense, whatever he's doing or having the defense fall back into, it's not working. I mean, look how fast Minnesota scored on some of those drives today. It was just like 2-minute drives to get down the field. And, yeah, they held them at the goal line a few times, made them settle for field goals. But, man, it was just too easy. If there's
no the worst,
pass, that defense is terrible. Well, and it has been. Yeah, we've seen it. We've seen no.
They've just been bad too often with all that talent and all that resources, all those resources devoted to it. But here's I want to leave it at this. He's the first guy I'd fire. Here's why. If third down and 5 is the worst down and distance for your defense, your scheme sucks. How many of those did they convert, for crying out loud?
Well, you want me to look it up?
The D gets in the position, and then then in the third down, the down where the play call now matters, not just like your fits and your fundamentals and your talent, but now it's like, all right, what are we dialing up on third down? The other team's like, ooh, we can beat that, and ooh, we can beat that, and you get a first down, and he's the Oprah Winfrey of the NFL. I want him gone.
Yeah, this surprises me, actually. Minnesota was 4 of 11. On third downs. It seemed like it was way higher than that.
Well, they got them all in the last couple drives of the third quarter then, or first drive of the third quarter in the – I don't know.
It could be.
I just know they don't get off the field enough.
Yeah.
And it's maddening seeing like, hey, our offense is solid, and then the defense is trash. It's like, wait, what just happened here?
Yeah, it's been a complete 180.
So, but let's not bury the lead here. The Bears are still alive. The offense is clicking. And they are committing to David Montgomery, and he's awfully good.
32 carries for 146 yards. That's a 4.6 per carry average. That is pretty darn good.
2 touchdowns and some massive effort plays.
Yeah.
I mean, don't even try to tackle him at the chest level. Get out of here with that. He'll just carry your butt to the end zone.
He's got
– I love watching him play.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, if you like running back play, today was a good game to watch.
Yeah, Dalvin Cook is scary.
Yeah. Montgomery's longest run of the game was 19 yards. So a long of 19 with an average of 4.6. He's getting yards after contact.
He'd have had 250 versus the Texans if he had this many carries.
Very well could have.
So last 4 games. Here you go. I got to bring the stats for the audience. 11 carries, 103 yards. 17 carries, 72 with 2 TDs. 11, 113 with a TD. Today, 32, 142, and 2 TDs. Total, 71 carries, 434 yards, 5 TDs. And in that stretch, he also has 13 catches for 137 yards and a TD. He's on a tear.
Yeah, that's.
And there's one Bear who's even playing even better right now.
A-Rob?
Cairo Santos.
Oh, yeah, it's true.
I just had to do this before I forget. Quick shout out. He's lights out. Yeah. Knock on wood.
Just 21 sure was last 21, right? Is that it? Or is it 22 now?
I think it's 22 now.
Yeah, okay, the last one. I forgot about the
I
last
I thought for sure Meyer jinxed him, but he came through.
Oh, I couldn't listen to the broadcast.
Oh, he's terrible. He's an awful. Really they're both awful.
Well, they're both awful.
It's amazing.
You know, what's his name? Oh, now I'm blanking. The receiver. Packers.
Greg Jennings.
Yeah, Greg Jennings. I just can't. I hear his really voice bad. And I hear Packers stink. So
he's just not very good. And I think Myers is just so boring for a guy who's been doing it forever. He's just not very good. I did enjoy Greg Jennings hitting us with a will to win. That'll be fun to hear on the score when they mock the old Illinois football coach, Beckman. They're going to have a lot of fun with that one.
Yeah.
With that.
Greg Jennings will drop Oski at some point, too.
Yeah. But who cares about the broadcast? It was a good win for the Bears. A couple Bears were playing lights-out football. A-Rob's looking really good again, too. I wish there was a way to believe that they could actually extend him and do the other things they need to do because I'm not sure how they're going to get all this done. Yeah. But, gosh, it'll stink when he's not a Bear. But he's, you know, Diva Act was a little annoying this year, but for a wide receiver, he's still not much of a diva. He's a very productive player. Mooney's playing great. Miller didn't screw anything up. The receivers are good.
Mooney is looking better and better and better every week. I mean, that's got to make you – know, Ryan Pace, you texted me during the game. Can we make him the
– got to bring that up.
Got to make Ryan Pace – well, you introduce it because it's your idea and it's
– okay, thank you. I appreciate that. Nice footnote. Was that Turabian style? No, I simply said that I think the Bears need to hear, you know, lead the way. Let's be the cutting-edge franchise for once instead of being 10 years behind the league and make a new executive position the director of late-round drafting. So he just takes over from either the third or the fourth round on, but someone else does everything else a GM does. Ryan Pace, you just take over scouting and drafting the late rounds because that's what he's good at, which is a really weird thing for the team to be good at. You can add Bilal Nichols to that. Maybe Shelley. Like, he looks okay. He made some very nice tackles, obviously way too early. There was a good pass rush by Gibson, not the safety, the other Gibson. At one point in the game, he's barely seen the field, but like you get these flashes from these fifth round picks frequently under Ryan Pace. And then of course the best examples are Mooney and Eddie Jackson, though Eddie's had a bit of a down year. I still think the talent is immense and just, I think it's coaching really.
Yeah, I agree. We got to get Eddie in a better system. Agreed.
Yeah. But like, man, that's a lot, right? Even Montgomery's a third round pick.
Mm-hmm.
Mitch Trubisky over the two QBs, and he's got Adam Shaheen, and you're like, okay, I want him to be the executive director of the late round drafting.
Yeah, I like it. Cohen's a third round pick too, right?
Cohen's fourth, I think.
Is it okay? But he's in that window of late round draft specialist.
Also, shout out to the new O-line. That middle keeps playing well. That is huge. I cannot say this enough. They desperately need those guys to all be the answer. You can move them around. Daniels comes back. But the idea that they don't have to spend on the interior at all, and maybe one of these guys can even play right tackle, and then you're just looking at drafting for left tackle and cutting Leno and Massey. Man, it would be absolutely huge.
Who would you want to try at right tackle? Bars? See if he could?
Well, if Fetty's been okay, Bars, I think, would be my Uber backup everywhere, and I'd move – Daniels and Whitehair both at guard, and I'd keep Max Rustifer / Sam Mustipher at center. I'm never going to let that die. He can be a 10-year Pro Bowler, and I'm still going to do it.
Max Rustifer.
We should put some respect on his name, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like Damian Lillard. Yeah, so shout out to them, too. They were good. The backup D-line is the other thing. Those guys are kicking butt, man. Those less heralded D-line. Brent Urban is awesome.
So, all right, you're right. And there were a lot of the linemen made flashes today. I mean, clearly, Max not 100%, but he still
got in there.
He still made some pressure. Did he get a half a sack on that one play with?
I was actually just looking that up as we brought him up. I'll get back to you in 1 second. Quinn had a good game. He actually got held really bad on a no call.
Yeah, he did. So, what was the
Nichols problem? Had a sack. Mac and Urban each had a half. Quinn had a sack. And that's that.
So what was the problem with the defense today then?
Coverage?
We saw
I want to say coverage because of injuries. That's what everyone's going to say, but it's not. The issue was Dalvin Cook got to the edge all the time. They did not set the edge. They basically did fine against him on runs up the middle.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's on the edge rushers who were supposed to set the edge, because Mac's been one of the greatest, like, ever at doing that, like, by all the analytics, advanced analytics. They just love him. He's, like, the number one edge rusher in the league, and part of that is setting the edge. Or whether they had a different game plan. It was a weird game plan with all the times we saw him in coverage. I don't know if they were stunting at bad times, you know, because they needed to stunt more. We've talked about that before as a way to generate.
They did last week against Houston.
The danger of a stunt is an outside run can burn you because the tackle can't get over there.
Yeah.
And the end's vacated. I'd have to rewatch those games, or those plays, but I think it'll be interesting to see what the coverage during the week, the Hogan Johns guys and different guys on the radio, and, you know, your Matt Bowens of the world that really break down the film, say about those plays, because they gave up a lot of yards on outside runs.
Yes, they did. And it's a real soft secondary coverage, too, on the corner.
Can we talk about yeah, they were very soft, and I think they're going to blame the injuries. But, man, if your second-round corner is that important to your defense, I don't think it's all that elite. He's good, but
– he is good. He is
good. I just don't ever see the scheme fooling anyone. I don't want to harp on it more with a here we are.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to know what the heck the refs were doing with two calls.
On the
delay of game where they blocked Mitch's ability to snap the ball. They hadn't actually set it. Like, how? What? I've legitimately never seen that. Have you ever seen that?
No, and we saw it twice today, one for each team.
Yeah, and they got a timeout instead. We took the penalty. That was weird. That was just – looked like Matt Nagy was calling a timeout, and then the refs were – you know, like, he called a timeout for the refs, and they came out with the play, and they screwed it up. Like, it looked like Matt Nagy was in charge of the refs there for a minute. I don't know what that was. And then the offense, the Minnesota offense gets bailed out by the pass interference with Thielen and Shelley. And Thielen pushes off, and Shelley just recovers, and they called him.
Yeah.
That was actually the exact opposite of what should be called, and it gave them a TD drive.
Yes, it did. That was a third down. That should have killed the drive, but instead.
Yeah.
And you just knew that was going to happen, too. The way the defense had been playing, you knew that they were going to get points out of it, because –
As soon as they got that bogus call, it was like, and they're scoring a touchdown this drive. But I thought that was a terrible call.
Agreed.
Yeah. And otherwise, a pretty clean game. It took forever for there to be a flag. That was kind of nice.
Yeah.
So, I can't let you go without more big picture. We constantly do this.
Well, look,
what do you think of the coaching and of Mitch now?
Mitch,
where are we at? Every week we're doing this.
About Mitch. Because Mitch has played four good games in a row. His stats today are good. They're not great, but they're good.
15. They are a little misleading. He played better than the numbers probably show. Yes,
absolutely.
Really good on third down, I thought. Like, a couple of them were third and longs even.
There was the pass to Jimmy Graham. Was that in the first or second quarter where he's getting rushed right in his face, and he turned around, saw Graham right away. Shoom, perfect throw.
He made a great throw to – Miller at one point. There was a really good one on third and 11, I think, to Robinson.
Yep. Yeah.
He learned how to use Mooney. He's shifty, right? Get him out in space. That's the guy you want one-on-one with a corner on a quick bubble screen, right? He makes those guys miss every time, or he gets an extra 5 yards out of it or whatever.
Yep.
So, just
one bad throw, and it was the situation and the location that made it so bad, you know?
Yeah, and we'll learn more about that as the week goes on. But what do the Bears do about Mitch?
Well, you got to keep him, right? I mean,
you got to try. I don't know if they can. I know it's probably pretty unlikely with the Foles deal. If you can get rid of Foles, you can keep Mitch probably.
Is there any question that Mitch is better anymore? Is there any question?
For this team, no, none whatsoever. I mean, they derailed the season when they went to Foles.
Yes, they did. We all know that. And we all.
I know Mitch started two of the six games, but the Packers won, they would have lost no matter what. And the Lions won, the defense lost. So, like, Foles was so bad. They didn't really have a chance, broadly speaking, in that stretch. I mean, they could have beat the Saints, I guess, like I said earlier. But
yeah. But I like, Mitch, that you have more Montgomery involvement. You've got more A-Rob involvement, which is kind of weird to say that.
So dumb. Why is this the case?
More than, well, yeah, it's true. Kmet, normally we didn't see a whole lot of him today, but and Mooney too. We saw a lot of Mooney with Mitch here, but it's Mooney set a record though. Today for
Bears. Yeah, I mean, wide receiver. All that is true. Yeah, rookie record for Bears receptions.
Which is
ever. That record stood for 66 years. Just pick him late. Don't pick one early. I think this gets back to Nagy. Like, which Matt Nagy? He's Matt Nagy now moving forward. I know Parkins has said it a few times. I think Burnsy's kind of echoed it. Like, there are enough good things about Matt Nagy, and he does have traits of a good leader, and they still don't quit on him, even though the defense hasn't been executing well and the game plan wasn't great. Mm-hmm. But hey, that all that stuff, you know, he does pretty well. And then last year we didn't learn it. Then we beat Dallas. You think, okay, they figured it out. And then they go right back to being trash against Kansas City?
Either right? Kansas City or the Rams.
And then they come out this year, and he's like, got my QB, running my offense again. Terrible. They finally go back to the tailoring stuff to your players. Wow, what a concept. And they look good again. But, like, can you trust Nagy to have finally learned this lesson? I'm a little bit afraid to.
I don't know. And player evaluation bothers me, too. Like, why? Mustafer, for example. Why did it take so long for them to realize, oh, you know what? He's actually good.
Well, it's Coward that's the problem. Coward's playing guard, so Whitehair's playing center. But Coward's the worst player I've seen in 20 years on an offensive line. And he's just dreadfully bad. He shouldn't be playing it. He's a D tackle. I mean, that whole thing just.
Right, but everybody knew that except.
Except for the people that matter.
The Bears.
Yeah. So have they learned, or are they just getting lucky? Or are you going to do worse if you fire him? Because at least, you know, considering the Bears' track record with coaches, I don't know what to think anymore. I mean, I thought, of course, get rid of him during the 6-game losing streak like everyone else. And I still lean towards fresh start if the new football CEO wants it. That's still, I just get your football guy, let him do his thing. But if that guy decides to keep Nagy because he says, look, I know he's got some things to learn. We're going to be breaking all this down together. But you look at what they did at the end of the year. This is what the Bears coaches are going to be moving forward. I would be like kind of, you know, intrigued by that as long as the football hire, that mythical CEO, is a really good football hire.
Yeah.
But I would also think a really good football hire is probably going to want to start over, right? Like, so it becomes very difficult. If you could tell me for sure, we'll get the Matt Nagy, the leader, and Matt Nagy, the guy who adapts to his players, I'm a whole lot more interested in keeping him than I was. Those are very big ifs.
Because the offense has clearly been better with someone else calling plays, so.
And tailoring it to his QB. If they continue that, he's an asset in other ways. But game to game, he'd been so bad that it was hard to see anything but that. And now you're like, okay, now maybe things are a little better. Have you noticed, too, now that he's not calling plays, just like Hogan Johns and we talked about, he's a little better in game with the clock and everything because he's not distracted the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
Hasn't missed any blatant, ooh, you better challenge that kind of plays, like when he didn't challenge the interception that Eddie had taken back when it was tipped by Nichols, not Mac. The broadcast was all wrong. Remember that whole thing?
Yep.
Yeah. So, like, if he's growing, I don't know if I want to fire him. If it's all a mirage, I want to fire him. And that's what they're going to have to evaluate.
Oh, and we're not really going to learn much these next 2 weeks because next week it's Jacksonville Jaguars.
You're not going to learn anything that game. And then Green Bay is going to depend on whether they have to play or not.
Yeah, because they're going to beat a Packers team without Aaron Rodgers. I don't have any doubt about that. So,
you assume it without Aaron Rodgers is code for without Aaron Rodgers and Aaron and Devontae Adams and Aaron Jones, right?
Yeah, true.
Yeah. But
you could go into that game and not learn anything. They could finish 9-7, grab a playoff spot, and we'll still not know anything.
I think that the nuclear scenario I've been joking around with my cousin is sitting on the table. 9-7, no playoffs, bring everybody back, more of the same old crap. It is. They're not going to go firing everybody if they're 9-7.
And if they make the playoffs. I think it might be more likely.
It might happen if they don't make the playoffs. Yeah. But if they make it, they're not going to. But again, if they make it because Matt Nagy has grown as a coach and it's actually going to continue – then I'm more interested. Holy cow, this play in the Chiefs game is amazing.
You're watching football during our recording session?
I am a multitasker, Chris.
That's good. Hey, who's winning in the
Mahomes is trying to get rid of the ball fourth and two. He gets hammered. The ball goes flying up. It's tipped, I think. And a offensive guard for the Chiefs catches it and rumbles for like 6 or 7 yards for the first down. And I don't know if it's tipped, he's allowed to. Oh, I don't know. I'd see it again. There's a flag. Of course, I can't hear it. Yeah, he catches it. It's essentially a loose ball. I don't think he's allowed to move it forward. That would have been a great first down, though. Anyway, yeah, so but I think it's incumbent that they get a real football czar in and move Phillips over. He retires or something.
Mm-hmm.
And then if that guy says, I'm keeping Nagy, I guess okay. He better be good at his job. And if he says, I'm keeping Pace as the executive director of late-round drafting, well, I'd be thrilled. I mean, the point here is, we're back to not knowing. And we're going to have a whole nother week of coverage of everyone being like, probably keeping them. We don't know. Then they're going to lose to the Jaguars.
Hey, if they lose to the Jaguars, we've got some clarity.
Fire everybody again. Yes. And then they're going to beat the Packers. Bring them all back.
And I'll beat it.
They're going to beat the Packers B team.
Yeah.
It's so hard to determine. But that's where most of the NFL is, in that weird limbo. I will say there's one other argument for continuity. The age of the defense, generally speaking. Although I want a new coordinator. But, I mean, if you're going to blow it up, I don't know how you blow up the defense with the contracts. That would be kind of tricky. There's a lot of cap hits if you trade those guys. It's not that simple. So, like, if you're going to run the defense back, do you run the coaching back? But please, a better coordinator.
Yeah, he's well, we talked a lot about that.
So. Somebody tell Elway to fire Vic so we can hire him back.
We can bring him back. Come home, Vic. Come home. We miss you.
But my point in bringing up the D coordinator again is I'm already contradicting myself. That's how confounding the team is. I'm saying you might keep them because of the D continuity, but let's not have continuity with their coach. You see my point? It's all so difficult to determine because of just how much in the messy middle the Bears are.
And why is it that they just can't get turnovers under Pagano's system like they did with Vic? Like, what do you do differently? Why does a Lovie Smith system generate turnovers more than you know what I mean? Like,
I don't know. People sometimes just say it's random. It's less random than that, in my opinion. But I mean, I know smart people who think it's – I mean, we know it's unsustainable and unpredictable year to year. That's been proven 1,000 times. Mm-hmm. Vic created more confusion, which is going to lead to bad throws and better pressure, and that all, of course, creates turnovers. Lovie, though, really didn't do that, and they still got him. So part of it's the players. But I'm so tired of watching the Bears go for a strip and then miss a tackle. That touchdown to the actual Viking, you know, the guy that looks like a Viking.
Yeah.
They try to tackle him. All they do is like, punch the ball. Oh, he's in the end zone.
Yeah, that's what Eddie's been doing lately. He's trying to pop the ball out and dragging the guy or getting dragged for 10 yards before finally getting him.
So, if you're like scoreboard watching,
you know,
you want the most interesting scoreboard watchings?
Well, we got the
Eagles. Is up 26. 20 on the Eagles at the half, just about. Mm-hmm. That's interesting that Eagles are putting up some points with the rookie there.
Uh-huh.
And the Jets lead the Rams 13-3. What? Well,
that's not going to last.
Yeah, it can't, right? So, there
pretty
you go.
Funny, though, if it did. All right, man. Well, do you want to talk later this week about the Jags or just kind of skip over that? I don't know. What do you think?
I still think we should do a midweek one just to see what people are saying, what else comes out about the game. We've got to hit Lions Twitter. We haven't done enough of that lately. That's a big okay. part of the pod. I think the viewers are going to demand a Lions Twitter update. They're interviewing presidents and everything.
Okay.
And then maybe we should check in on Vikings Twitter. That Yeah. That was really good.
Thank you.
Almost like you
think I was musical or something.
Yeah, you'd think you were. Mm. All right, man. Thanks for having me. Absolutely. Go Bears, I guess. At least
Bears,
it was
they're
fun.
Still in it. They're still alive. Super Bowl Bears.
Hey, there for a while, it did not look like we were going to have meaningful games in December.
And here we are.
Here we are.
Games that may mean nothing. Here, yeah, I love it.
Meaningful games that may prove meaningless. Bears football. That is it right there.
Bears. 35 years of it, my friend. All right. Talk to you later.
See ya.
You've been meatballed.
You suck, Chris.
The Bears are who we thought they were.